I want to welcome everybody to worship today. I think we have a really great service planned, and I hope that you enjoy what we're doing today. Let us begin our worship.
Would you please join me in our invitation to worship? Today we come together to prepare for the birthday of a king. We begin this special and holy season of Advent, the season of going toward the birth of Christ. Season of going toward new hope and eternal life. Let us clear our minds and open our hearts to the coming of the Lord. Let us honor his birth by entering our church for the coming of our King. Let our songs and symbols represent our personal rededication to the glory of God and the manifestation of his love through his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The season of Advent is a great tension. Advent expresses hope and expectations for both the first and second coming of Christ, in opposition to the contemporary commercial emphasis that is found throughout our culture. Any authentic celebration of Advent and Christmas must be experienced as part of the larger story of Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection. We can approach the Advent Christmas season with a real sense of excitement once we understand how the whole season initiates us into the manifestations of God in Jesus Christ. Since the early days of the church, God's people have prepared for a proper celebration of Christmas. They have established a season of the church year, Advent, for this particular reason. Advent begins today, on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, and ends on Christmas Eve. During the Advent season, Christians get ready on every level of life for a God-pleasing remembrance of the great day on which the Savior was born. Advent reminds us that there is still much darkness. It is a darkness made up of sin, evil, ignorance, hate, and pride. To remind ourselves of the growing power of Christ the light, Christians have long made and used Advent wreaths. Some believe the idea of the Advent wreath originated in Scandinavia, where during the shortest days of the year, people lighted candles on a wheel and prayed to the God of light to turn the wheel of the earth's orbit to the sun again and lengthen the days. This practice later spread to Central and Western Europe. The wreath of candles was adopted by the Lutheran Church as a symbol of hundreds of years ago. The wreath is covered with evergreens symbolizing eternal life. It is in the form of a circle which has no beginning or end. What better way to picture the eternity to our minds than this? Our life with God is everlasting, beginning, always, and now.
The lighting of the candles has been a part of religious worship for centuries. The Hebrews burned candles for 8 days as part of their Feast of Lights. Light has been used by many religions as a symbol for truth. While darkness has been the universal symbol for evil, sin, ignorance, and falsehood. When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple, Simeon referred to the Christ child as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to his people Israel. Because of this statement, church leaders have often used candles to symbolize the light of Christ shining throughout a sin-darkened world. When we light these candles upon the altar, we symbolize his coming into the world of sin and evil, war and strife, and turmoil, suffering and death. He came to bring hope and help to those who were held captive by oppression and to guide them to personal peace and joy through the elimination of his message of the love of God.
The candles are significant not only in the light they share, but in their color. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He is coming as King of Kings, as well as the Prince of Peace. Purple is also the color used to symbolize repentance. The single pink candle is symbolic of joy and is lit on the third Sunday of Advent. The candle in the center of the wreath, the white candle, will be lit on Christmas Eve. Now, would you please join me in our lighting of the Advent candle reading? How does a weary world hope? By praying for children as they grow and picking up trash on our sidewalks. There are a million ways to practice hope, so today we light the candle of hope as a reminder and a charge. With God's help, may we bring hope into a weary world. Amen.
We have an Advent poem this morning that comes from our series, How Does a Weary World Rejoice? And it was written by the Reverend Sarah Eyre. Wade in. Over time, wind and water will sand down the edges of a stone. For humans, our wind and water is the grief of the world. Stay here long enough, and pieces of you will be pressed upon by life's never-ending stream. It's enough to make you weary. It's enough to make you question. It's enough to make you quiet. And yet the stream continues. So do not be afraid to stand in the water. Wade in. Soak the hem of your jeans. Drip wet footprints through every room in your house. Let the water stains tell your story. And when your body grows weary of swimming, name the stream. Acknowledge your weariness, for eventually you will pick flowers from the opposite bank. And over again, we'll tell this story. And over again, a weary world will rejoice. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know the prayers of our heart. You know the prayers that need to be heard in a weary world. So gracious God, we know that you carry us through the days. And you know every word on our tongue and every hair on our head. You know the dreams in our hearts and the weight of our bones. You also know the weariness we bring with us into the morning and into this space. So with honesty, we come before you, both with hearts full of gratitude and with prayer requests on our lips. So Holy God, we thank you for the gifts of this life that give energy, for birthday candles and sunrises, for handwritten cards and jobs that we are passionate about, for stories can make us laugh until we cry, and for friends that feel like family. And for all of these gifts, we thank you. In addition to these prayers of gratitude, loving God, we also bring you the things that weigh heavy. For gun violence, for family and friends and chemotherapy, for seasons of transition, and for grief that won't let us go. For that, we ask for your attention. We ask for your love and your care. So, Lord, we ask that you would take the yoke from us, relieve some of the burden on our backs, and wrap your arms around places where we feel most tender. And as we enter into this new Advent season, a season marked with joy and hope and light, we ask that you would remind us that our full humanity is welcome here, that there is room for both joy and for grief. There is room for weariness and awe. There is room for faith and doubt, for big or too far gone, for your love to reach it. So with hope in our hearts, we reunite our voices. Lord, we pray this day and ask that question, how is it, Lord, that a weary world rejoices? Let us, Lord, be a people who cultivate joy. Amen.
Evergreen has long been considered a symbol of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and a promise that the faithful will experience endless life in fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. Ancient people viewed evergreen with awe and wonder because of its changeless nature. Isaiah 10:13 tells us, "The glory of Lebanon shall come under the tree, under thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary." Though the evergreen has been viewed with reverence, it has only been in the past four centuries that Christians have used evergreen to decorate their homes and sanctuaries. In our day, evergreen is surely a noted symbol of Christ's gift of eternal life and of the celebration of Christmas itself. The evergreen we use to decorate our sanctuary will remind us of God's endless nature, his abiding love in Jesus Christ, and of our eternal fellowship with him when Christ is our Lord.
Holly is a common plant which grows in most of the nations of the world in more than 150 varieties. For a long time, and at least two reasons, this bush has been tied to Christmas. In the first place, it bears fruit in the dead of winter, and thus it has been considered a symbol of endless life and victory over winter's death. Secondly, the sharpness of the bush and the redness of the berries have associated it with the crown of thorns Christ wore and the blood he shed for us. The Danish call this bush the Christ thorn. For many generations, Christians throughout the world have placed holly in their windows as a sign that Christ has entered and is Lord of their homes. Ivy, too, is rich in symbolism. In the Middle Ages, ivy was used extensively for Christmas decorating. It was considered a symbol of love because of its clinging habit of growth. Holly and ivy are often associated together in legends because of the holly's sturdiness and the ivy's tenacity. Both have an incredible ability to survive and to grow. We decorate our sanctuary with holly and ivy because of their link through the ages with beauty, endurance, and permanence. And though they are steeped in legend, their quality of life over death is fitting and proper for the celebration of the birth of the one who offers each of us life beyond death.
At this time, we will have the ushers come forward, please, to collect our tithes and offerings, and we will express our gratitude for all that God has done for us. Please join me in prayer. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in hope, and we give in hope. Hope for your coming reign. Hope because of your presence with us even now. Receive these generous offerings and use them for your work of healing and hope in our world. Amen.
A popular flower of the Advent Christmas season is a bright red poinsettia. Actually, the red petals are not the blossom of the plant. The blossoms are the small yellow clusters found in the center. The leaves can be red, white, or pink and green, and give to our Christmas celebrations a special joy. This attractive flower was discovered growing wild in Mexico by Dr. Joel Poinsett, who served as our first foreign minister to that country from 1824 to 1829. In Mexico, the plant was referred to as the flower of the Holy Night, or the flame leaf. Dr. Poinsett brought several of the plants back to the United States, where a Philadelphian landscaper developed them into a type of flower we see today. The poinsettia speaks to us in a symbolic way in several ways. First, the star-shaped formation of the colored leaves called to mind a star, which shone over Bethlehem on that first Christmas. If the flower is blood red, it is a reminiscent of the blood shed for us by Christ. If the flower is white, it recalls Christ's purity and sinless nature. The beauty of this flower reminds us of the beauty of that dark night so long ago in Bethlehem, when the everlasting light was born to save us.
The Chrismon tree is an evergreen tree, symbolizing eternal life. The most famous story about the early use of evergreen trees at Christmas centers around Martin Luther. As the story goes, he walked through the forest on a starry night with snow covering the ground, and he marveled at the beauty of the starlight as it shone upon the branches of the fir trees. When he tried to describe for his family the beauty and glory of the forest, they failed to comprehend what he had seen. He then took a pine tree into the house and placed candles upon it to represent the twinkling of the stars. Our tree is decorated with chrismons, monograms of an aspect of Christ's nature. Some are crosses, which remind us of the death of Christ, which made possible our salvation. The crowns direct our attention to the risen and glorified Christ as the eternal King of Kings. Lamps assure us that Jesus is the light of the world, even though it is sometimes a very dark world. The doves symbolize the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as the full and enabling presence of God. Other chrismons, like the shepherd's crook, show us the roles Jesus played in life, or Greek letters that spell his name. The chrismons are all made from white and gold materials. White is the color of purity. Christ's sinless life was the only sacrifice acceptable for our atonement. White is the color with which we will be robed at Christ's next advent. Gold is one of the royal colors. It is an expensive element which reminds us of the expensive gift of salvation and the royal nature of the sovereign Lord. We must understand ourselves to be subjects of the Lord Jesus Christ Emmanuel. God is with us.
The lighting of the sanctuary readings. The fear of darkness and joy of light have been figures of man's concern, his writing in history across the centuries. Pagan people frequently used light to represent their wisdom, to indicate the blessing of their gods, and to petition to the good favor of heavenly powers in their behalf. The Christian use of candles is a blend of Hebrew and Roman customs. The symbol of light is central in the Christian's testimony of Christ's role in the world to bring life and salvation to all who would receive his light. For over 1,500 years, Christians have been using candles, particularly at Christmas time, as a reminder that Christ came to bring light to mankind. According to the legend, the Irish originated the custom by placing burning candles in their windows on Christmas Eve as both a guide to those who pass by in darkness and an invitation to those looking for shelter, just as Mary and Joseph sought shelter on that first Christmas Eve. The Word was the true light that enlightens all of humanity. He was coming into the world. He was in the world that had its being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own domain, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. The Word was made flesh. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is as his only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you please stand for our closing reading and benediction? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
He prophesied as light, star, and scepter. He was named centuries before his birth.
There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. He was heralded by light on Bethlehem pasture ground, where shepherds watched their sheep as the glory of the Lord shone around them. As each of us looks to the true light, we all have the opportunity and challenge to take our witness as a light into the world, to dispel the darkness of our troubled and complex civilization. Jesus Christ, our true light, is the only hope for peace on earth.